to preach you happy tonight. So get your Bibles out. And just for grins, turn to John 14. Let's just read John 14, 1, just before we get started out here this morning. This morning. Seems like morning. It's already dark out there. It seems like I've been up all day into the night. But I ain't complaining about the time change. What does it say, John 14, 1? Huh? What does it say, church? Come on, let's all say it together. Say, let not your heart be troubled. You know, God doesn't want us to have troubled hearts. But you know, we do get troubled hearts. We're professional worriers. All of us are. Doesn't take much, no matter what you're worrying about. You ever been just driving down the road, mind your own business, and you heard something in your car that didn't sound right? You know, and you're not too far down the road, you've got it diagnosed. It's all kinds of, you know, transmissions going out, this happening, this, whatever's going on. Because we're just professional worriers. We just tend to be people that just, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, you know, we usually think the worst. We don't think, man, I bet I run over a gold coin, that thing flipped up under my tire, lodged up underneath there. In a minute, I'm going to pull that thing out, and I bet that thing's going to be worth $10,000. Yeah. Pay your taxes. That's a good one, Sudie. You know, we don't have thoughts like that, right? I mean, how many of you have ever been fishing and expected to find a gold coin in a fish's mouth? Y'all with me? We tend to be just professional words, but the Bible says right there, Jesus' own words. That's Jesus' words. It's, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hello? Man, I don't know this. This morning I woke up and my heart tried to get troubled. But I didn't let it stay there. I had to finally leave the house. My wife just told me to leave. It took me a while this afternoon and, you know, to get flowing in the Holy Ghost and get back into, you know, the thing of things. Because I know that a lot of y'all, just like me, things didn't go the way you wanted it to last night. And I've been praying, talking to the Lord about it, and I just want to share some things with you. I want to give you a little bit of history tonight, but also I want to preach you happy, okay? I know this with all of my heart, that the messages that I've been preaching these last several weeks about having adamant faith is one of the most important things you can get hold of right now. Church, it's time that we're the light of the world, that we shine as the light of the world, that we stand in the face of adversity, we stand in the middle of wrong, and we say it's wrong. We don't back down, we don't compromise our faith, we do not be fearful, we do not look into the future and be fearful. I know this much, man, nothing is going to take the praise of God out of my lips. Y'all with me? Do I think the days ahead of us are going to be easy and good and comforting? Absolutely not. Right? I mean, I just want to be straight up with you. You think they're going to be fun? They ain't going to be. Is it going to be hard? Probably the hardest things. Well, maybe not the hardest things you've ever been through in life. Some of y'all have been through some hard times in the past and in different places. Okay? But I'm telling you what, we're on a road, different road than you've ever been on before. And it's all about, hear me, compromising your faith. That's what it's all about. Getting you to compromise your faith. Now, if you go and you look in the, and you can, I'm just going to read through some of this, but I'll just tell you what it is. You can go write it down, look it up later. But 1 Kings chapter 9 is the story of Solomon bringing in the temple. Or building the temple. And he built the temple, you know, its greatest, most expensive structure ever built on the face of the earth. If you took what they'd put into the temple of that day and converted it all over to today, it'd be the most expensive structure ever built. He built this temple, and in chapter 9, it starts talking about Solomon finishes the house of the Lord, he prays to the Lord, and he prayed this, if you just let me paraphrase it. He said, God, I just want to ask you this. If any person anywhere your people, they pray and they even just look towards the temple, well, then I ask you to hear their prayer, forgive their sins, and answer their prayer. You know, isn't it funny about that? Because, you know how you rub the genie lamp, and get three wishes? And you always, I don't know if you do or not, but, you think about what would be the three things you'd wish for. Well, having a temple that every time you looked at and prayed, and whatever you prayed, God would hear your prayer, forgive your sins, and answer that. I mean, that's a pretty good one, huh? Right? I mean, just imagine that. Just say, whatever you need, Frank. Just pray. Talk to God. He'll forgive your sins. We built this temple, consecrated it. I mean, wow. So God came down and he said, okay. But I want you to know, he says, if Israel leaves me, if Israel doesn't, I'm putting in a bunch of different things here, kind of paraphrasing this. If Israel doesn't treat me like a new bride, if Israel doesn't love me with all of their heart, if Israel doesn't look to me as their God, if Israel doesn't honor me, then he said, they're going to get cast away. It's not going to happen. They're going to be blown away. So then, Israel, what do? They had it made. Right? They had it made. But every time in life, I've seen it, even in my own 28 years of walking with the Lord, the moment that a person gets comfortable in walking with Jesus, gets just, everything's going right, everything's all right, they begin to coast. We're just, we're professional warriors and professional coasters. We like to put it in neutral. Put it on cruise control. Want to just get up in the morning, just don't want to have any problems, just want to do that. I mean, we spend our lives working to get to a place that we can do what? Retire and put it on cruise control and just go down the road and don't have to do anything, right? Yeah, not to think anymore. Just sit around the house and just let your wife tell you what to do, right, Frank? The definition of retirement. Are y'all with me here? But God wants us to always be with Him, and He always wants us to have active faith. He always wants us to have adamant faith. He always wants us to be progressing on, because the problem is that when we get too used to the things of this world, we're not supposed to be a part of this world. We're supposed to be a part of the world we're getting ready to go to. When we step over, I mean, if we have adamant faith and we know that we're going to heaven, then we really should be building our earthly house, right? We should be building our heavenly house, not our earthly house, right? We should be stepping, getting ready to look about what we're stepping over into, because that's eternity. But we lose focus with that. We lose sight of that. So, if you want to know the litmus test of where America stands, all you have to do is look at the election last night. And it tells you where the spirituality and the morality of America is, and you are the minority. You know why I know that? You lost. And I won't say this, America the Beautiful, in my eyes, ain't so beautiful anymore. Okay? Because of the morality of the people, things are turning and shifting in this nation. Okay? And we're standing there saying, what? I'll just step in it all tonight. Get it out tonight so I won't be, maybe carrying it all over for the rest of the couple of months. I heard it on the radio this morning. Thank God I didn't see it. but I had to listen. I listened to it until I could get over there and turn it off, of singing the praises of the Wisconsin senator who's a lesbian, the first one elected. Here's this great thing that's being done that now this person's going to stand up and everything like this. And I'm like, what? What? Something's not right. Something's not computing. Listen to me. It's about loving people, but there has got to be the word of God. There's got to be the morality. There's got to be the standard that we live by. And so when all the doors thrown open, people are more worried about getting recreational marijuana passed than they are a budget balanced. And I look at it just like this. I look at it as a kid with a credit card that's just charged to the max and wants another one to charge some more. And then mom will pay it somehow. And the thing is that as long as you're feeding people who of their flesh want more things, more give me, more free, more easy, you know, they want us to pay for, that's terrible. Have you ever thought about this? They want us to pay for the abortions and the contraceptives at the same time. Well, why don't we just pay for the contraceptives and keep away from the abortions? Huh? Ain't nobody thought of that one. One works and, you know, you shouldn't have to deal with the other one. You follow what I'm saying? Is that the point is, folks, is that the morality gauge has changed, but it's not new. You got to understand something. This is not new. This is like, oh, God, is that... No, it's just that America's been living in a place that we came out of a time and an age where the morality of the people were one way, and then now it's swinging to the other side. I mean, folks, if you lived in Rome during the Caesars, you'd be shocked at what was going on. All right? I mean, if you were living in the days of Alexander the Great, you would be shocked at the brutality against humanity that was done. You'd say, "My God, I can't believe you're doing this." Okay? So, is this not something that's just like, oh, it just happened to us? No, it's just where we've been, but where we're going. Israel did it. They could have just looked at the temple and every prayer would have been answered. But they got lax. They got apathetic. They did not keep adamant faith towards God. They did not keep worshiping Him. Jesus, well, you know, it's Old Testament, but let me just say this. Jesus was not the cup that was filling them that would never run dry. So the day comes and boom, what happens? Israel's taken out. The Assyrians come and drag everybody off to Babylon. Do you know who the Assyrians are? Do y'all know who Assyria, ancient Assyria, is today? Huh? Iran. The Assyrians, the Persians. And God said in Ezekiel, He said, "You loved their Babylonian garments and their turbans that waved in the wind." That's what He said. Isn't that amazing? He's saying, you got enticed with looking over there and saying, "Oh, wow, look how beautiful that is. I want that." Instead of looking at me, seeing how beautiful I am and how much it is to live life in holiness and grace and mercy and knowing my love for you. He looked at the Babylonian garments and the waving of the turban. And He said, "Oh, that's so beautiful. I want one." And they said, "Well, you can have it, but you're going to go in chains." Okay? You're going to go in chains. Now, here's where it gets to be sticky. Okay? Because if you pick it up, you know, they went in chains. They were, you know, destroyed. Jeremiah, the prophet, go read Jeremiah, Lamentations. He cries and weeps for the nations that are going. But you know what happened? The righteous got caught in bondage and had to go to Babylon with the unrighteous. Right there is what makes me mad. I don't want things to be bad when it could have been good I am the kind of guy that wants to stand on the side of the road and said, I told you so. And that, you know, I said, well, Pastor, you're supposed to be just full of love and come back. I said, oh, poor. No, I am. I have that in me. You know, I have to keep it under all the time. But I want to say, I told you so if you wouldn't have done that. But the problem is that because God is not going to go against the free will of man, we get caught up in the whole lot. The herd stampedes, we're caught up in it. Y'all with me? But I want to be singing God's praises the whole time. I'm going to be standing there the whole time and not going to compromise my faith. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to say wrong's wrong and right's right. And that's where you have to be firm, because I'm telling you what, when it all hits the fan, you kind of got to go through it too. And at that point, at that moment, at that second, well, let me get into that in just a second. Y'all remind me about the fan and what it's going to say. Okay, so carrying the history lesson on a little bit, you can go to the book of Ezra chapter 3. Now, they've been through years of captivity, they've been through years of chains and slavery, and all of a sudden now things get changed and they get to be go back and rebuild the temple. And they go back and they rebuild the temple. And in Ezra 3, it says that they rebuilt the temple, and the people, the young people that were there working and rebuilt it, just rejoiced and jumped up and down and shouted and said, oh my God, this is the greatest thing in the world. And their shouts and their cries were just out loud and great. But that the other people, the older people that were there, were weeping and crying because they remembered what Solomon's temple was like. And they're looking at the little temple that got built, and they're saying, my, the other one was so much more beautiful. The other one was so much more majestic. The other one was so much greater. It was so much greater. And the problem is, when you walk in sin, when you stretch the moral fibers of the rubber bands of moral fibers of your life and you stretch them out, they never seem to quite go back into place. How many of you, here's a real good example, you guys, how many of you have ever had the gasket around the door of your truck ever come off and you tried to put it back on and it never quite fit right? Isn't that the truth? It never fits right. When that thing gets stretched out, when the moral fibers of our life get stretched out, they never quite go back the same. So what concerns me is when America tries to go back, it ain't going to quite be the same. And there's going to be weeping on our part saying, you don't remember how great things were. If we ever get back. You know, if we ever get back. Now, go here in Galatians chapter 4. Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ from all the slave. For he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your heart, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God and through Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. What has to happen, what has to take place in America is we have to preach the gospel. What I feel in my heart is that the church, not this church, but the church of the Lord Jesus, the real church, the real true church in America, has to get off its duff and preach the gospel. Amen. To the highways and the byways. There has to be a change. There has to be a revolution in church. There has to be a revolution that comes about that nobody's ever seen before, because it can't be man-made, it can't be man-thought up, it has to be Holy Ghost sought and bought and applied, where the gospel is preached, where people have conviction within their hearts and they know right from wrong. God said, look, I'll put my spirit within you. And when my spirit's in you, he says, and I'll teach you what's right and what's wrong. If there's no Holy Ghost on the inside, you can hold up the Constitution of the United States in front of people all that you want to and say, this is the Constitution, this is what you've got to adhere to. But if they don't want to do it, they ain't going to do it. They're going to find ways around it. They're going to find all the ways. Just like when you told a kid not to do something, if they want to go do it, don't you go to that dance. I'm telling you, don't do it. They're going to want to go. They're going to find a way to do it, and they're going to do it. Well, you can hold the Constitution up all you want to and say, this is the document. You have to adhere to this document. Have they been doing it? So then the only thing that would make them do it and want to do with our founding fathers established verse under the authority of God is what the Word of God says. They got to get the Spirit of God on the inside of them, because that's the only thing that can make them change. And the only way I know for that to happen is the gospel has to be preached. It has to be preached. And if the gospel's preached, then people will get saved. And if people get saved, God will change their hearts. God changes their hearts, elections change. It's real simple, but it's complicated. It's real simple, but it's kind of complicated. The church, again, I'm talking the church, I mean, has been fighting and bickering for so many years over things that don't make a hill of beans. You want to know how deep the water is, how much water is, what temperature's got to be of the water. You got to this, that, the other. You know, is it wine? Is it grape juice? Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it the other? And nobody's ever preached the gospel. They've been arguing about that all this time. And so the gospel has to be preached. Jesus has to be lifted up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. If you in your life can simplify all of your theological doctrine to simply this, people need to know Jesus and get them introduced to Jesus and then let the Holy Ghost take care of the rest. Then the world will change. The world's not going to change until the gospel's preached. Now, you once were a slave, like me, to sin, right? All of us were. The Bible says that when we were in this world, the sins of the world, they rested upon our shoulder. But Jesus came and took that away from us so that we had God's wrath was not towards us, that we were now free. And he says, then if you're free, then don't go back into the bondage. He's not talking about the same, let me say it this way. He's not addressing the same, when he says freedom, he's not talking about exactly the same kind of freedom as we're talking about as a citizen of the United States. There's a little bit of a difference here. One is spiritual freedom. You're free, right? You could be thrown into jail in bondage, but you can still be free because you can inside of you can praise God. You can worship him. His presence can come into that cell and touch your heart and set you free. Right? So I want you to know this. Nothing in this world can take your freedom. When you're born again and you're saved, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of your life, nothing can take your freedom. But that doesn't mean that there's not someone who can stick you in jail, that you can lose your liberty. Liberty. What? You know, if you're in the Navy and you're on a ship and you get liberty, and what do you do with liberty? You get off the ship, right? Liberty is that freedom to do and to go and to move and to flow in this world as we so choose. Liberty is to drink a Coke or to drink a glass of iced tea. Liberty is to drive your car the speed limit or drive it 120 miles an hour. You say, well, you'll get caught. That's right. Then you lost that liberty. You see what I'm saying, church? People nowadays don't want to take personal responsibility for anything. Okay? But the law of liberty states if you abuse it, you lose it. Right? It's really simple. People just don't want to apply, like, well, you know. Just, you know. I got stopped the other day for a speeding ticket. And I thought, from the time he gets back of his car to the time he's walking to my door, I thought of every excuse in the world. When he got up there, I said, how fast was I doing? He said, well, you know, you were over by this much. And I said, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, if you're guilty, you're guilty. I knew I was speeding. Didn't think I was quite doing that fast. I wasn't paying attention. I wish I wouldn't have got caught, but I did. Did I think the sign should have been changed? Absolutely. I mean, I could take it to the Supreme Court. I think it was a trap, you know, but it don't make no difference. I did it. I was caught, stuck. That's what I did, right? But I want to tell you something. It did something to me. You know what? It broke me. I'm serious. Like, well, it was actually a pretty good lesson for me because now, you know, I'm like slamming on the brakes when I come to that sign, skidding up there and like to throw everything out of the back of my truck to the front. But we're in this time, and what I'm telling you is that you got to remember that nothing can take your freedom because you're free through Jesus. Your liberties, I can guarantee you, in the next 4 years are going to be abused. You might as well get ready for it. You might as well have adamant faith, draw your line in the sand, and be praying and asking God to hear His voice that how you're going to handle the situations that are going to come upon you to take your liberties. I don't know yet, to be honest with you. I hadn't got it all figured out. I haven't heard the voice of the Lord give me direction for every liberty that I believe is going to be stolen from us. But I know I'm going out kicking and screaming, preaching the gospel, shouting as loud as I can, calling every angel from heaven I can, call down a legion if it happens. Y'all with me? Now, there's one other thing I want to remind you. Did not Jesus tell us that He's coming back? Did not He tell us that there's going to be this day, it's going to be this great and glorious day? The Bible says He's going to appear in the clouds, and when He appears in the clouds, then we get this 23,000-foot leap. I just hope I can hold my stomach down. I hope I just don't throw up right up there, you know, end up on a cloud and just puke or something. I don't even like elevators, you know. I hope it's supernatural. I hope, like, as soon as you're 1 inch off the ground, you're translated into your heavenly body so I don't have to feel the of my gut. I just can't take it. I just can't take it. And it is going to be one ride. But the Bible says He's coming back. And He says, you know what? Now, the Bible's kind of funny about this. We always tend to think that Jesus is coming back when things are really bad. But that's not really what the Scripture says. Scripture says it's going to be like in the days of Noah. Everybody's going to be eating, drinking, and having a good time, and then like a thief in the night, He comes back. You got to understand the hard times that you may face. I don't mean it's a hard time for everybody. Because if you'll compromise your faith and you'll yield and go the other way, then you know what? Things may be great. And everybody may be partying and saying, look at this great world. Look what we're doing. Isn't this great? Look how free we are. Look how much liberty we've got. Oh, we can go do this. We can go do that. But that's the time you better start quithouin, because the Bible says that's when Jesus is getting ready to come back. And I know what's going to happen. I want it to happen in my lifetime. Tonight would be good. But I'm not going to prophesy the future. I don't know all the future. I just know what I can see temporarily. And I know what the signs of the times are telling me. And I know we can see the moral fiber of our nation. And I know that the only answer is for us to preach the gospel. So when you run across your friends, get your acquaintances, your associates that are out there, and everybody's full of fear and everybody's going on, now's the time to preach. And you say, well, I know I've already got my mansion. And, you know, he can't tax me. It's already in heaven. Ha. Ain't going to have to pay no death tax. Already got her done in heaven. Y'all with me? This is the way you have to be. You have to be able to preach the gospel. You have to tell people about Jesus. You have to tell him why that's the only answer. Because I want to tell you something. That's the only hope that always satisfies, is that relationship with Jesus. So don't be upset to say, well, you know, don't really want to fight it myself, but that's just the way it is. And I'm just tough enough to handle it through the power of God. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, you're going to make it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Well, ushers, help me tonight. Let's take up our offering tonight. That was the part about we're going to get thrown to the fan, and the only thing you can do is preach the gospel. Thank you for bringing that up. Sprayed right out the fan. Spewed into the world. Glory, glory. Well, there was an earthquake in Guatemala today, but it wasn't anywhere near the orphanage, and everything's okay. So it's on the far end of Guatemala. So if you've heard that, don't worry about that. The kids are doing good. Great things are going on. So put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for it. I praise you for it. I just give you all the glory for it, Lord. For you're our financier, Lord. I don't care what the Federal Reserve says. I know what the Heavenly Reserve says. And Lord, you're in control of our finances. And you're our financier. So Lord, bless it tonight. Bless us in the midst of the trials and tribulations of life. And Lord, no matter how much they try to take, thank you. There's always more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Coffee and cookies tonight. Have some fellowship. Well, stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, Jesus is more than enough. So, Father, I just declare tonight as we leave and we go out into this world, Lord, we just declare that you are more than enough. Give us the power, the inspiration, the understanding that every person we run across, everywhere we go, Lord, that we can just tell them about you, Jesus, and introduce them to you, Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Thank you for your hand upon our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.